Happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are here. It's a blessing to have you here in God's house. Speaking of Father's Day, I remember one time visiting a father in the hospital. Actually, he was a grandfather. He was an old man, and his memory problems kept him from being able to tell me exactly what he was in the hospital for. He couldn't remember why he was there. He couldn't tell me how long he was going to be there, but this old grandfather, he did have something on his mind. And so I remember him sitting up as well as he could in his hospital bed and looking me right in the eye, and he said, "Pastor, I have to tell you something serious. I'm very worried." And so I wondered what he was going to say. Was he dying? What was this bad news he had to share? As well as he could, he sat up and he looked at me. He said, "Pastor, one of my daughters has started going to a church that doesn't teach the truth about Jesus. I'm so worried. It hurts me so much. I think about it all the time." To me, it was amazing to see. Here was this man lying in a hospital bed, and he had IVs coming out of him all over the place. And yet, that wasn't what he was concerned about. Somebody that he loved was wavering or even falling away from their faith in Jesus, and that was the most painful thing in his life. And I bet many of you know how that feels. The fact that you're here today means that Jesus is important to you, and if Jesus is the most important thing to you, then I bet you can relate to that concern that that man had. Maybe for you it's for a child too, or for a friend, or for a relative. The biggest thing you want for the people that you love is you want them to believe in Jesus. But the problem is that life is so long. Life is so long, and there's so many temptations, and there's so many sins, and there's so many false gods. And if Jesus really is important to you, then there's nothing that's more painful than to watch people that you love waver or fall away from their faith in Jesus. And I can still see this grandfather. I think about it all day long. Well, to comfort those fears, Jesus tells us some stories today. He tells us some parables. And they're really meant for all people, but we can certainly apply them especially to fathers on Father's Day. Jesus told the story about a man who goes out and scatters his seed. Then by night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, that seed sprouts and it grows, even though he doesn't know how. The soil produces grain, first the stalk and then the head and then the kernel of grain in the head. And when the grain is ripe, then the farmer goes out and he harvests his crop. You know, that's the kind of story we can relate to because we've been watching it happen around us for the last couple of months. We've seen farmers plant their seed in the ground. But then once the seed is planted, farmers have to have a lot of trust. That farmer puts his seed in the ground and then he has to trust that all on its own, that seed is going to grow. And it's going to produce ultimately a harvest. That farmer has to trust that the seed is going to work. Now, whenever Jesus tells us a parable, he wants us to ask, what's the point? For every one of Jesus' parables, there's usually one main point. And what's Jesus trying to teach us? Well, the point is that, just like a farmer, we're to plant and to trust in God's word. Whenever a farmer plants seeds in the ground, he's really taking a big risk. Because there are all sorts of things that farmer doesn't control. He doesn't control the weather. He doesn't control the bugs. He ultimately can't control the end result. But he plants his seed and he trusts that God is going to let it grow. So Jesus wants you to know that Christians are farmers. As Christians, we've been called to plant God's word over and over and over again in the hearts of the people that we love. We don't control the end result, but God does. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he described it like this. He said, "I planted the seed, Apollos, another pastor, watered it, but God made it grow." So God wants us to know that our job is to plant, and then he wants us to trust that whether we're awake or we're sleeping, that word of God is powerful and it's working in the hearts of the people who hear it. He wants us to plant and trust God's word. So one of the questions for us today is, have you been planting God's word over and over again in the hearts of the people that you love? This last summer, my family and I, we did not get a single strawberry out of our whole garden. All summer long, not a single strawberry. Can you believe it? Well, you should believe it because we don't have any strawberry plants in our garden. And so, of course, we're not going to get any strawberries when we didn't plant any strawberry plants in our garden. But now think about it. How often don't we expect somebody to grow up into a Christian without ever planting God's word in their heart? Maybe we could think specifically about kids, even though we're talking about everybody, adults too. How often in our society don't we have this idea that somebody else is going to be the one to teach our kids? So reading and math, they don't have to learn that at home, they learn that at school. Swimming, they learn it at the pool. Jesus, well, they learn it at church. How often don't we just get this idea, somebody else is going to be the one to train our kids, and are we planting God's word every day in the hearts of our families at home? Now, even if I were to plant some strawberry plants in our garden, that's no guarantee that we're actually going to get strawberries. But I know the strawberry plants that will never produce us any strawberries at all, it's the plants that we don't plant. Do we in our lives as Christians expect to harvest when we haven't planted? And any farmer would tell you that that's foolish. There is a study done in our Wisconsin Synod in 1999. And the study showed that 5% of Wells families read God's Word together at home. 5%. That would mean that even with all the people who are here in church today, maybe 10 families are reading God's Word together in their home. That's not very many. What is it that keeps us, even as Christians, from making sure we're planting God's word in those we love? As I thought about that, I could come up with maybe two reasons why we're so hesitant to really use God's word in our families. One would be that we don't think God is really that great. And the other would be that maybe we don't really trust that God's word works. Either we don't appreciate God or we don't trust in Him. How many opportunities have you missed to encourage your spouse with God's word? How many opportunities have you missed to plant God's word in the hearts of your children, whatever age they are? And the sad thing is that usually it's just one day that it hits us, like this old man in the hospital, suddenly feeling this weight of seeing his children, the people that he loves, falling away from Jesus. And maybe that hurts you today too. Maybe as we talk about it, it's something that hits your heart today too. And if it does, that's really a good thing, because it means that you care about Jesus and you care about the people that Jesus has put in your life. And the truth is, there is really nothing that's more painful in life than watching those that we love fall away from Jesus. But if that's hurting your heart, then now's the time for God's word to work inside you too. Because I know that you have God's word planted in your heart too. And it's God's word that promises you about what Jesus has done as our Savior. That Jesus died on the cross to take away all of our sins, including the sins that we've committed as fathers or mothers or parents or grandparents. Jesus died to take those sins away, and you are forgiven. And Jesus actually tells this parable to give us a wonderful comfort. He wants you to know that nobody's faith depends on you. Sometimes we put this burden on ourselves. And God wants you to know nobody's faith depends on you. Our faith depends on God. And so he calls on us like a farmer to plant our seeds and then to trust that even when we're sleeping, even when we don't see it at all, that word of God is powerful and is active and it's working in the hearts of those people that we love. And so what God wants you to do is he wants you to keep on planting. Or maybe for you, he wants you to start planting. And I know as a parent or as a friend, it can seem like we don't have any power. Right? We do what we want to do. We talk about God's word, but nobody's listening. It doesn't seem to have any effect. But I want you to know that as long as you have God's word, you always have power. And I want you to think about how long it takes for a seed to really grow. Have in your mind, Christians are farmers. God calls on us to plant his word over and over again. We don't control the results. There's no passage in the Bible that promises every loved one is going to be in heaven. But God promises that every heart that's heard God's word, that word is going to work. And it's going to work in ways we can't see or know. And God wants us to plant his word and trust in God. But maybe you hear that and there's still a voice inside of you that says, well, what if it doesn't work? Why doesn't it seem to be doing any good? So Jesus keeps on talking. He asked his disciples a question. He said, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God? And he was inviting them and inviting us to think to ourselves, what would we compare God's kingdom with? What would you say? I thought of some really good things. Right? God's kingdom is like the Golden State Warriors basketball team in that it never loses. Or maybe you could say God's kingdom is like a song by Adele. It's just grand and beautiful. Well, here's the one that Jesus came up with. He said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. When you went to the store to get your Father's Day card for today, did you see that big section of cards that said something like, hey, Dad, thanks for being a mustard seed? I don't think you did. Because it doesn't sound like a good thing, right? A mustard seed seems so small and so insignificant. So Jesus tells us another parable. He says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Even though when planted, it's one of the smallest seeds in the world, once it's planted, it grows and it grows and it becomes the biggest of all garden plants, and it has branches that are so big that even birds can come and perch in its shade. I think in Jesus' day, the smallest seed that anyone had ever found was a mustard seed. And if you were to think of a farmer planting that mustard seed in the ground, what would you expect to grow? You'd expect there to be a little plant, right? But that farmer would plant that little mustard seed, and it wouldn't go fast. It would take time. But it would grow, and it would grow, and it would keep growing and growing until it became the biggest of all the garden plants. And I don't know a thing in the world about mustard plants. But they say that they get to be 10 feet or 15 feet tall, big enough so that birds could come and perch on their branches. And that little tiny seed can produce really big results. And we say, great, I like mustard. You probably like mustard. It's good to have big mustard plants in the world, right? Except Jesus wants us to say, what's the point? What's the main point? What does it add for him to tell this parable about a mustard seed? And I hope you see that Jesus is really giving you a wonderful promise. He's saying that what you see with your eyes doesn't tell the whole story. He wants you to know that as small and insignificant as God's kingdom might seem, it's really growing and growing and growing. And one day when we get to heaven, we're going to realize that God's kingdom is a whole lot bigger and grander than we ever thought it was. Just remember that what you see with your eyes doesn't tell the whole story. God's kingdom really is growing. And I think that's exactly what we need to hear. When God's word is planted into somebody's heart, it doesn't immediately bear results. It doesn't always seem like it's working, but Jesus says over time, that little seed, it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow until it produces something big and beautiful for God. It's just you have to be patient and wait. Abba, I don't know about you, but it's hard to plant something and have to wait for it to grow. To be honest, it's a whole lot easier to buy carrots at the store than to plant them in your garden, isn't it? And you think, why is it so hard for people to go on a diet? Isn't it because we can watch what we eat for one day, but for a whole month or for a whole year, we want to have the results right now. We want to see a change overnight. And God never promises there's going to be a change overnight. But He promises great blessings when a family takes time every single day, little by little, to hear and to read God's Word. This is how God works. He works over time as our faith in Jesus grows. So are we patient farmers? Every time I prepare one of my sermons, I try to read commentaries written by other pastors on that section of the Bible. And so as I was studying this section of God's Word, I read a commentary that was written by a pastor in the 1930s. Now, as this pastor in the 1930s wrote about these verses, he had a lot to say. And can you imagine what this pastor in the 1930s saw as a problem when it came to Jesus' parables? He said, people today just don't have time to hear God's Word. They think they need to help God's Word out. People don't think that God's Word is enough. They don't think we need to hear more of God's Word. What they need, and this is exactly what he wrote, he said, what people think we need is more picnics and entertainments. And I thought, that kind of sounds familiar. How often don't we feel like we need to help God's Word out? We need to maybe modify it a little bit, modernize it. We need to maybe change it a little bit just to make it work a little bit better. Maybe we need to make it more fun and entertaining, and then it's really going to work. But just think about this. If you want to produce strawberries in your garden, what do you need to plant? You need to plant strawberries. If you want faith in Jesus to grow in somebody's heart, what do you need to plant? You need to plant Jesus' Word. That's the only way it works. Jesus himself once said that if people don't want to listen to Moses and the prophets, to the Bible, they won't listen even if someone were to rise from the dead. Do you see Jesus' point? Faith in Jesus, that thing that we want more than anything else for the people that we love, faith in Jesus only comes from Jesus' Word. There's a beautiful verse in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament that says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so is my word, God says, that comes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will achieve my desire and accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. God says his word, it's like rain or snow in that it always does what it was meant to do. When God's word is planted, it's going to grow. And it's going to produce something big for God. And the truth is, it already has. I know that we sometimes as Christians can feel so small and insignificant, or we look at our Christian church and we think it's so small and insignificant, but do you know how many Christians there were in the whole world when Jesus ascended into heaven? The Bible tells us there were 120. How many Christians are there in the world now? There's billions. Because you can trust God and His Word. And this is true for dads too. Not just Christians are farmers, but fathers especially are farmers. I once heard a pastor who gave a sermon, and in the sermon he asked, what do you think would be the very best situation for a child? If you were just to imagine the best setup for a child, what would that be? Wouldn't it be that that child would have someone in their life who gets to see them every single day? Wouldn't it be for that child to have this powerful influence in his or her life? Wouldn't it be great for that child to have this person in his or her life who loves her so much that he takes the time to train her and to discipline her and to teach her? Wouldn't it be great for kids if there was just this person who was so focused on planting God's word in their hearts every single day? And of course, who was he thinking of? Dads. We need dads. Doesn't matter how old the dad is. It doesn't matter how old the children are. Fathers, you are farmers. God calls you to plant His Word every single day in the hearts of the people that you love. And I know there's a lot that's out of your control, but God promises you that that Word works. So what would you say to that dad as he was lying on a hospital bed, worried about this daughter falling away from Jesus? Maybe for some of you, it's so much more personal than that. What would you say to yourself as you think about the people in your life who are wavering in their faith in Jesus? First, point that person to Jesus. You're talking with that man in his hospital bed. Remind that man that Jesus is his Savior who died to take away every one of his sins, even his sins as a father or as a grandfather. Remind him that there is nothing in the world that can separate him from Jesus, not even one of his children. Remind him that when he gets to heaven, there's going to be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. He is going to be perfectly happy with his Savior. Point that man, first of all, to Jesus. But then remind that man that God's Word works. Even when he's lying on his back in a hospital room, even if he's sleeping, God's Word works. If God's Word has been planted in someone's heart, God's not going to be done with that person until they die. Remind him that God's Word has power. Then encourage him to see the big picture, to know that what he sees with his eyes doesn't tell the whole story, and that God's kingdom is winning, and one day when he gets to heaven, he's going to see how big and grand it is. But then finally, tell that father, and maybe tell yourself, to keep on planting. So over and over and over again, every time you have opportunity, to plant that seed of God's Word in the hearts of the people that you love. Because Christian fathers are farmers. Amen. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, we're thinking especially about those people whom we love who seem to be wavering in their faith in You. Dear Lord, it hurts us to see a child or a parent or a friend or a relative seem to be falling away from their trust in You as their God. Lord, we can't control the end results. We know those are in Your hands, but You call on us to plant Your Word in people's hearts. We ask that You give us the courage and the boldness to take advantage of every opportunity to plant that Word in the hearts of those we love. And then we ask that You do what You promised, that Your Word would have power, that it would work in their hearts, and that it would produce this harvest of people who believe in You as their Savior. Dear Lord Jesus, call those we love to faith in You. In Your name we pray. Amen.